Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by great sponsors like our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time to head to your next Disney destination, and we know you're already planning that next trip, drop by themagicforless.com and check out all the great specials. There's some good specials out there right now for early 2017, both packages, play, stay, and dine, and some great room offers as well. Or if you're considering a Disney cruise, you can get up to a 5% onboard credit for that cruise. It spends just like cash. And of course, you're going to pay exactly the same as you would booking directly with Disney Cruise Line. They have professional, passionate agents standing by to make your next Disney vacation awesome. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's show also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise.advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1086 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. The weekend has arrived, and it's really, in essence, here in the States, a four-day weekend. Fridays are just fun. Saturday and Sunday, of course, is the weekend. And then Monday is Halloween Day. So get ready to put on those costumes, have a great time, and most importantly, watch again for those little ghosts and goblins on the way home on Monday, because they're going to be out there trying to get all the candy and having a great time. So slow down on the way home from work and just be on the lookout for those little guys and gals, because they're going to be having the time of their life out there. And let's keep it a safe and fun Halloween for everybody. And of course, we have the scary co-host to join you here on a Friday to get you ready for that Halloween season. We have Ricky from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and the Mouse for Less. Happy Halloween, Ricky. We got 4 days, 3 days, something like that.
I'm David S. Pumpkins.
I don't even know what that means. You always say stuff that I have no clue. I am so old.
You watched Saturday Night Live this past weekend, you would understand what I'm talking about. It was Tom Hanks dressed up in this ridiculous pumpkin suit, like a suit made with that had pumpkins all over it, and it was just the most. It was kind of a play off of Tower of Terror. So I'm going as David S. Pumpkins this year.
All right, well, I'll take your word for it. I'm going as a Wookiee.
just Google it or YouTube it, and you'll understand what I'm talking about, Mike. Everybody else has seen it at this point. So
you can't say that stuff at the top of the show, and everybody's turning the show off and going over to YouTube and checking out David S. Pumpkins.
No, everybody else has seen David S. Pumpkins. It's just you.
Killing me. At least you're going to expire here shortly, so it doesn't matter.
That's right. Apparently I am.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester, who I hear may go as Hannah the Jalapena from the pierogi race at what's it called? I forget the name of your park, but the Pittsburgh Baseball Stadium. What's up, Pam?
Yes, Hannah Jalapena is one of the named pierogies that they do at the Pirate Game. They race, the pierogies race. And you can imagine, pierogies aren't very fast.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No, we have the Home Depot tools here in Atlanta. So
that doesn't sound much better.
Yeah, that sounds
the
terrible.
The hammer and two-bit the drill.
That's crazy.
Hammer and Hank. and Tubit the Drill, and there's a Phil the Bucket, and there's one more. There's some brush. I forget what his name is, but yeah.
That's... And Terry Pendleton.
Also, yeah, we're not going as any of those things.
No, no.
So I'm lucky in that Steve typically does the passing out of candy. He loves doing that for some reason. So anyways, I know,
oh,
right?
I got a huge bucket of candy because we went to this Touch a Truck or Treat and Treat at here in good old hometown of Atlanta, and there was a fire truck that had to leave, and so they came and delivered all of their candy to us. So I have a giant bucket of candy to give out this year. So I'm very happy. I don't have to go shopping for candy. That part's nice.
Good stuff. Wow. That's good. Okay.
Yeah, you know, the only bad part, it's not chocolate, so I don't want to eat it. Although maybe that's a good thing.
That's better. That's way better. Yeah. And we always do that trunk or treat thing at our church, which is always a lot of fun. You kind of decorate the back of your cars and the kids from the neighborhood come out. And it's always a fun thing. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to, of course, be Chewbacca this year. Of course, you've seen him starring. I've got him to come into our teases for the shows, and he's looking good. Chewbacca, you know, I think he's like 500 years old, but hanging in there. All right, anyway, today we're going to do a little bit of a different show here on a Friday. We are going to take an itinerary for a guest, listener Artie, and share his thoughts, what he has, his plan for his trip, and then kind of critique the itineraries, you know, maybe add some suggestions, give him some kudos, and to see what's going on with their trip in the pre-planning stages. Thought this would be kind of fun, and we're also, of course, recording live on Facebook, so we'll also get some Facebook chat there, some feedback live in real time and see what we have. So he says, "Hey, Mike, not sure if you've done this in the past or if this is a new idea. I was thinking I could share my itinerary with you, and you and the ladies could critique it, pointing out the good spots, things I need to rethink, suggestions, etc. Here goes. My wife and I and our four kids, he has a boy that's 7, a girl that's 5, a boy that's 3, and a girl that's 3. Oh man, this is going to be a good one. And wife's parents will be staying at a 2-bedroom at Bay Lake Towers, April 29th through May 5th. Okay, so everybody that's listening, hopefully you're writing down here at Friday at your desk. You know, so again, 2 adults, 4 kids, 7, 5, 3, 3, and the wife's parents, 2-bedroom in the spring, April 29th, May 5th, Bay Lake Towers. We've been with the kids twice before. The twins ask every day when we're going back to Disney World. That is not an exaggeration. We had to plan another trip while they were all so into it. All right, here's day 1. Arrive around 2 p.m. No parks, just get settled, hang out at the pool. If we're up to it, walk to the Magic Kingdom and take the boat from the Magic Kingdom to Wilderness Lodge to go to dinner at Whispering Canyon. I'll make sure to have my son ask for ketchup. All right, so that's it for day 1. So we're not going to, you know, critique this too badly because, Pam, I think that's the perfect day 1, especially for an afternoon arrival.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, you know, we always try to like settle in depending on when we're going to get there and maybe enjoy dinner. The only thing I'll suggest is if you're not going anywhere that day because you're concerned about the price of park tickets, it's just something that you may want to consider is once you reach a certain point to add an extra day costs so little that even if you really, if your family was really into possibly going there and checking out fireworks or something like that, it might be worth it. So just something to consider. But I'm totally cool with people relaxing on vacation too. You don't have to run to a park every day. But I just wanted to throw that out there for everyone.
Yeah, I think too, one of those things, you know, when you get there, you got the pool time that first afternoon. You're going to maybe head to a really themed, fun restaurant that's nearby in one of the hotels, Wilderness Lodge. Again, that gives you an excuse to get outside of Bay Lake Tower, go see another resort, you know, in Wilderness Lodge, and you get to ride a boat over there, which is always a lot of fun, which I'm sure the kids would get a huge kick out of. Ricky, what do you have for this?
Well, the only suggestion I was going to have, and I guess it depends kind of, you know, if they really, really wanted to just go to the Magic Kingdom or if they just didn't realize, but there is, I believe, now I'm second guessing myself, but I'm pretty sure there's a boat that takes you from the Contemporary to Wilderness Lodge, right? Isn't there?
There's a boat from the back of the Contemporary that'll take over Wilderness Lodge. Yeah, I've taken it.
Yeah. Okay, good. I was like, wait, I'm pretty sure I've taken that boat. So if they didn't want, like, if they were just going to the Magic Kingdom because they thought, oh, hey, there's not going to be boat transportation to, you know, the Wilderness Lodge from the Contemporary, they don't have to worry about that. They can take the boat. Now, if they just wanted to go to the Magic Kingdom and then, you know, take the boat, then by all means, do it that way. However you want to do it. But I just wanted to let them know that that was an option if they hadn't thought about it.
Which is going to be so fun. I mean, even for the adults, I love riding the boats everywhere. But I mean, especially for kids that age, the boat ride is an attraction in itself to go over to dinner. So good kickoff to the day, or to the trip. Okay, day two. Early start with breakfast at Crystal Palace and then Magic Kingdom for the day with a midday break to relax at the pool. Dinner at the hotel or counter service in the park, Cosmic Rays, is a bit of a tradition. And then hang out at Magic Kingdom until the kids get tired and go home. Try to catch the fireworks from the hotel. All right, Pam, thoughts on day two?
It sounds like a good day. I mean, they, you know, they already know that they like Cosmic Rays, so you have lunch scheduled in that time. If you can do it later, you know, not right there at lunchtime, but maybe with your, you know, your Crystal Palace breakfast, you'll still be kind of full during traditional lunchtime. Then you'll save a little bit of time waiting in line for that. But it sounds like a good day. And, you know, since you're staying at the Contemporary, there's some great locations there from which you can see the fireworks. So, it sounds like a great day.
Yeah. And I like that they're taking advantage of their geography and where they're staying, the proximity to the Magic Kingdom. You know, they're going to be there. They're going to be back bouncing for, you know, some pool time, some relaxing, and also seeing the fireworks. You know, I got to see them from Top of the World Lounge, thanks to some friends that were DVC, and it was an amazing view. So don't discount seeing the fireworks from over at Bay Lake. So, Ricky, anything else before we head to day three?
No, I think that day two is pretty well perfectly planned. So good job. Kudos.
Way to go, Artie. All right, day three. Good, yeah. Relax in the morning. This is like a Ricky plan. Head over to Hollywood Studios around 2 p.m., not much
this
to do.
This is definitely the
this
Ricky
is.
Plan.
That's what I'm thinking so much. We're going to Ricky first on this one. Not too much to do there other than Toy Story Mania and the Star Wars stuff. We'll probably get light dinner there. Maybe Pizza Rizzo will be open by then. Big event will be the Star Wars dessert party. Hopefully the Star Wars fireworks will come back and the party will as well. All right, so it sounds like just basically taken from the afternoon on at the studios. They're just really excited about Toy Story Mania and Star Wars. The one thing I might suggest here would be that with the kids 7, 5, 3, and 3, I think that there's quite a few other things that the kids may enjoy while you're there other than just those things you named. If Little Mermaid is still there, I still think that's a solid show, especially for kids that age. Mallory still gets a huge kick out of it because it's kind of live action with those black light type puppets. It's got some lasers, some fog in the theater, and, you know, the whatever Jepsum and the other guy comes out, and it's kind of scary, but not really Flopsum, whatever his name is. But, it, you know, it's very, like, feels 90s, but kids really, Mallory really loved it. I still enjoy it a lot. And I think, you know, that there's, obviously you're not going to do Rock and Roller Coaster Tower of Terror, but I think there may be a few more opportunities for adventures at the studios and maybe possibly for your 7-year-old son and maybe the girls as well. They might really enjoy doing something like the Trials of the Temple, the Jedi Training Academy. That might be something but you'd have to get there way before too. You got to get there at park opening for that most times of the year. So Ricky, critique this day.
Yeah, I was going to suggest, you know, since they did have the 3-year-olds, maybe they could do like, you know, the Disney Junior. I think that might be a good option. That's always good with little kids. Pizza Rizzo should be open at that point. It's supposed to open this fall, which, you know, for Disney, fall is still, you know, what, the 21st of December. So they may hit that timeline. Or is it the 20th? It's one of those days. So they're still going to hit that timeline no matter what, hopefully. So Pizza Rizzo should definitely be open by May of next year. That's for sure. April and May. I would assume again, that the Star Wars fireworks are coming back. I do know that for a fact. They are coming back on December 31st. And they should potentially, I can't see unless there's some thing that changes it, should be going on until, you know, for a while. So if they do continue, then they will more than likely bring the dessert party back as well, because I can't see them leaving money on the table, and a dessert party is definitely money that they can take in. So I would 100% say that if the fireworks are there in April, May, when you be there, and I don't see why they wouldn't be, then there will be a dessert party for you to experience.
And we got a couple of suggestions again from the live chat on Facebook. We have Chef Todd telling us you might want to consider the Hollywood and Vine character dining with kids that age. So that would be, you know, that's one that kind of goes under the radar a lot, where you can dine with the basically kind of the Disney Junior characters.
But it's just for breakfast and lunch. They do not appear at dinner. That's actually Minnie and Mickey and Donald and Daisy and them appear at dinner. At night, so yeah. That's something to keep in mind.
But that'd be, you know, that's one of those places I never think of, but I know that when people go there, they tend to like it. So, and also, let's see, Robin is mentioning too, you might want to do Beauty and the Beast like with the grandparents while the adults could do the Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster if that's up their alley. So you can kind of divide and conquer there. So Pam, thoughts on day three?
I agree. I mean, of course we've talked about this in Hollywood Studios a lot, but I still think there's a fair amount of things to do there that hopefully you'll find some other things to do. But like Mike mentioned, some of those things you need to be there in the morning for. But again, I think that there's something to be said for taking a day where you don't get to the parks until later, or, you know, do two parks in one day or something like that, because it really gives you an opportunity to maybe sleep in, have a leisurely breakfast, and enjoy the day. So it sounds like a great plan.
All right, heading to day four, and this is a eight-day trip, so we're halfway there. Day four says we're taking the day off. We're going to do Chef Mickey's in the morning, hang out at the pool, sleep, relax, maybe a resort hop. We'd like to do dinner at Ohana for my father-in-law's birthday. All right, so just a chill day right in the middle of the trip. I love that idea. Also, Chef Mickey's is at their resort, so that's something that, you know, you just basically walk across that sky bridge there and you are there. And even Ohana is on the monorail loop, so you don't have any stress in this day. The only thing, and I know Artie followed up a couple days later with the concern that maybe Chef Mickey's and Ohana in one day is too much food. I don't know, Ricky, where do you fall on that? Because it's a breakfast and a dinner.
Yeah, I mean, I would be hungry, but that's just me. I'm a fat kid. I would probably be hungry for, you know, both. And I do feel like, I don't know if it's just me, but I do feel like, you know, because Chef Mickey's is a character meal, I feel like obviously a lot of the attention is on the characters, 100%. That should be the case because it's a character meal. But with that being said, a lot of that attention being on the characters is the fact that people don't necessarily eat as much as they would potentially eat at a regular, you know, buffet. I always find that I eat less at a character buffet than I do at any other type of buffet. So maybe that's just me. And, you know, I'm just worried about meeting Mickey and Minnie. But you may find that you are hungry enough for Ohana. And I would say that you probably are, you know, depending on how early you get that Chef Mickey's reservation and how late you get the Ohana reservation, I think you guys will be just fine. Or early, you know, depending on how, you know, if you're starving or not. I think it'll be just fine.
It's one of those things, when I have a big meal like Ohana, when I have one of those ADRs, I tend to try, and I know this is probably the wrong thing. Actually, I've learned, I know it's the wrong thing, is that I'll try to like save up, you know, and
yes.
Russ is saying this in the chat. He's like, you know, make sure you don't eat lunch or just eat a super light lunch. I think the key is to eat a light lunch. Because if you don't eat anything, you're like ravenously hungry. You fill up too quickly at Ohana. Ohana, you got to really pace yourself, A, to get your money's worth.
Yes.
But also, they have so many different offerings that you want to make sure you get a decent amount of everything, because the sides are just as good as the meats, and the meats are really good. You know, Pam, what are your thoughts on this? Chef Mickey's, Ohana, kind of a relaxing day. Is it too much? Is this the right day to try to pull this off? What do you think?
I think it really depends on your family. For mine, it would be to have two like buffet meals or all you care to eat meals in one day, just because it just would be for my family. We'd be better off with something different in the evening. But if you think that your family can do it, then you know them way better than we do. So I think that, you know, that would be perfectly fine. And plus, if your father-in-law is interested in Ohana, I mean, you know, you don't really want to say no to your father-in-law.
Right.
For his choice for his birthday, right? You know, you'll want to do that. And the other thing about this, as was mentioned, you know, Ohana's not really a character meal. But the fun thing about it is they have lots of stuff for kids to do. The coconut races, the strolling musicians. There's just lots of cool stuff there. And you may be able to, depending on when you time that meal, be able to go out and either see the fireworks or catch the electric water parade pageant from outside the Polynesian there. So that's a great thing to do, too.
Also, one thing I'm noticing is, you know, so far they're talking about having breakfast at Crystal Palace, spending a lot of time at the Magic Kingdom, going to Chef Mickey's. I would say, and we didn't talk about their ticket media. I don't think that was mentioned, but I would make sure that you have Memory Maker because you're going to have lots of great pictures already, and it's going to justify the cost, you know, with all the extra, you know, on-ride photos and that kind of stuff. But, you know, does this sound like a memory, especially with the grandparents there, it kind of sounds like a Memory Maker trip?
Absolutely. I think Memory Maker is a great idea.
All right, let's go to day number 5. Back to the Magic Kingdom. Since we are doing Chef Mickey's in Ohana the day before, we'll probably do just a light breakfast at the hotel. Magic Kingdom in the morning, the pool, and relax in the afternoon. Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique for the girls around 3 p.m. and then dinner at Pinocchio's. It's a nostalgia thing for my wife. Hang at park while kids get tired. All right, Ricky, and I love Pinocchio's. Get up there. Again, if it's nostalgic, you're eating back in Fantasyland. Kind of a cool thing. Not a lot of people can, you know, do that. And wave to the boats going by on Small World. So what do you think about this relaxing day, Magic Kingdom, kind of chilling and then going back to the Magic Kingdom, Ricky?
So the one thing that I would maybe suggest is if you are super worried about being super full on day 4 where you've got Chef Mickey and Ohana, I might swap this and do Chef Mickey's on this day and then go to the Magic Kingdom. Since, like you said, it's right there. It's at your resort. So it's not like you have to go anywhere to get to Chef Mickey's. You're going to be going there pretty much anyway. So you are there. So I would say if you're worried at all, swap your light breakfast for day 4 and do Ohana that night and then do Chef Mickey's this day. And then you've got Pinocchio's that night, which is kind of a lighter, I mean, not necessarily light, but, you know, it's not as filling 100% as, you know, Ohana is, of course. So that's my only suggestion.
So mine is they're going to do the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique for the girls around 3 p.m. Here's a suggestion for this day. Schedule fast passes for meet and greets after Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. So meeting the princesses or meeting Mickey Mouse. Schedule fast passes, you know, kind of bite the bullet and not, you know, do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or Space Mountain or anything that day. Because the girls are going to be all dolled up from their Bibbidi Bobbidi experience. This is going to be an excellent time to get them in, get those pictures with the characters because they're never going to look cuter. And just something to think about because you spent all that money and they're just, you know, there's everybody that they meet is going to be saying, oh, princess, it's so good to meet you. Thanks for coming to the kingdom. And they really get that treatment at a character meet and greet after they have on all their, you know, their hair's done up and they have the dresses on. So that's one thing I might offer Artie to consider. So, Pam, what else about this day?
I think, too, in addition to scheduling some fast passes for character meet and greets after that point in time, you're also going to want to consider the Memory Maker if you choose to get that, thinking about getting those shots taken. For instance, everyone's going to want that shot in front of the castle, and what better time to do it after you've been Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutiqued up? I think, again, that's another great reason to do that. Make sure that you hit some of those other spots too. And another great suggestion is make sure you ask your photo pass photographer about the magic shots. Some will tell you, some won't, some will offer some won't. So ask everyone that you encounter and just let them know that you're interested in any of the magic shots if those are available for them. And those are the ones where they're like, put your hands out or do this and maybe it'll be a little magic that appears, you know, once you have the photos developed, and that's a great thing.
I have one more little suggestion that I just thought of I was looking over the itinerary again, and that's, you know, that they have the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique for the girls, but make sure you have something planned for your son to do while they're getting all Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutiqued up. So they do have the night package at Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, which is an option, or he could maybe turn himself into a pirate at the Pirates League. So just, you know, consider maybe, or, you know, do something else special with him, but just make sure that you know, while the girls are getting all prettified, that he has something that he's doing so that he's not just waiting around for the girls to get all make-upped up.
Yeah. And the guys are way cheaper too, by the way. So
right. Yes.
Good, you know, save some money. All right. Day 6. Here we go. Early day. Breakfast at Akershus with princesses, mine included, he says. Frozen Ever After. Meet Anna and Elsa and Soarin'. Not sure what the fast pass strategy is going to be here. We'll hang out in Epcot for the day and head back to the hotel when we've hit our limit. Hopefully in the afternoon and get dinner at the hotel. My wife and I will try to go out this night. We're thinking of heading over to Epcot to walk and drink around the world or boardwalk and get ice cream followed by a bit of a bar crawl. All right, so on this day, it looks like they're going to try to take that evening to give the kids to the grandparents and have an adult's night out. So what I would say for this one is, if possible, now this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough. But if you can keep the girls' hair nice, like don't swim the night before, because you've just done this again because I'm cheap. But you just paid all that money for Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and they're all dialed up. Of course, they're going to sleep on their hair. But if they don't swim and, you know, don't get in the shower because, you know, they're little girls, it's fine. The next morning, they can put back on their princess dress at Akershus. Again, you're going to get so many great pictures. Frozen meeting Anna and Elsa again. Get the, you know, get at least 24 hours out of that money you pay for Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. So just think about it. It might not work, but your wife may be able to do the hair up really nice, you know, kind of fix it up so it looks as good in the morning. You know, one of the things, Pam, I think I would suggest when I heard about them, you know, heading to Epcot, so many great date night opportunities. But I know that one of your favorite places is back now, and that's Flying Fish on the Boardwalk.
I know, and you're going to be able to walk over to there. So I think that's a great place to go for a date night. And in addition, you have, if you're looking, you know, you get to go to the new lounge area there. And there's just so many great spots, because you could not only visit the new lounge on the board, the Abracadabar lounge there on the boardwalk, but you can also stop by the lounge at the Yacht Club. And in addition, at the Beach Club, there's two lounges there. And then, you know, you could all make your way back to Epcot, even if you wanted to, and see Illuminations there too. So I think that's a good thing to try. The other thing I was going to suggest on this day six is, if you asked about what your Fast Pass strategy is going to be there, I would absolutely say get it for Frozen Ever After. That's where you're going to see the longest lines for that. And then Soarin' has really experienced much less waits, because that third theater has made such a huge difference that I haven't seen the waits that were nearly as long as they were prior to that. So I think that you'll do good. And again, when you meet Anna and Elsa, those waits aren't very long either. Mm-hmm. They've seemed to be hanging right around like 20 minutes or yeah. So, and it's a great wait too. I really love to see the interior queue of that meet and greet. There's just so many little hidden things to find and look at that I think the wait time goes by so quickly too. So, that sounds, you know, like a few things that might help you out with that day.
Now, Ricky, your thoughts?
So, my suggestion I was going to suggest exactly what Pam did about Frozen Ever After, so I'm glad that she did that. But my suggestion is going to be, it is going to be flower and garden time. And so I say go to Epcot and walk the promenade and do, because, you know, it's kind of like a mini food and wine at that point. So you can, you know, grab samples of different foods and beverages and stuff like that and do it that way. And then I'd go to the boardwalk that night and get some ice cream, you know, at Ample Hills, or, you know, maybe go to Beaches and Cream and grab a, you know, No Way Jose or something, and then do it that way instead, because, you know, the Flower and Garden Festival is such a beautiful time of the year to be at Epcot. So I would really enjoy that while I was there.
Yeah, and I don't know if we mentioned this here on the podcast yet, but it was just came about, I believe, last week, and I retweeted it when I saw it, but Ample Hills now offers what they're calling an ice cream flight. So what it is, it's six scoops of different flavors of ice cream coming in. What was it, about $10, like $9.99, something like that, maybe $11.99? It wasn't bad for six scoops of different flavors ice cream, and their ice cream truly is very unique. It's very, very rich. And it tastes, they have some unique tastes. So as much as I'm a huge fan of Beaches and Cream, don't get me wrong, I love Beaches and Cream just for the environment. It has great burgers, chili, and really good ice cream. The No Way Jose is incredible. Ample Hills is where it's at. And I would definitely, you know, that'd be a great splitting kind of thing, because think about it. It's kind of served in like a circle, kind of like a flight of six scoops of ice cream. And on a date night, I mean, just kind of split that with your wife. That'd be fun.
I will say that if you wanted to split something, you know, really, honestly, Brian and I split a sundae because the sundae is really pretty big there as well. And they let you pick, or at least they let us pick. I'm assuming that they probably let everybody else pick too. But they let us pick two different flavors that we could put in that sundae. So, you know, if you don't want to eat a lot of ice cream, that's always an option as well. You can get a sundae and split it that way too.
All right, day seven, relax in the morning, head over to Animal Kingdom in the afternoon. We've never been there before. I believe Rivers of Light will be up by then.
Let's
we'll
hope.
See. Yeah, we'll see.
They
want to check out the nighttime stuff, get dinner somewhere in the park. All right, so they want to kind of, the one thing about this family, obviously they don't like to get up early and everybody vacations differently. Ricky would fit in
they
well with this family.
They sound like my kind of family. I love it.
These are your peeps, man. These are your peeps. But, you know, going over to the Animal Kingdom in the afternoon, I would, so let's talk about a fast pass strategy again. Four kids, never having been to Animal Kingdom. Pam, what would you say for that?
Gosh, you're in for quite a treat, I think. I mean, sometimes, you know, I wish I like could go back in time and re-experience something for the very first time, but there's so much to see and do there. I would make my fast pass for when you arrive for the safari. That's likely going to be the thing that your family enjoys, and the lines will be longer in the afternoon. They tend to kind of build throughout the day. And then toward when it's going to close, they do get shorter. But because now Animal Kingdom is staying open a little into the evening, they stay, that crowd stays pretty heavy for just a while. So try that as one of the ones that you'll want to do. If you're looking to do Expedition Everest, that's another one you'll probably want to get fast passes for. And then if Rivers of Light is up and running and that's important to you, you may want to consider Fast Pass for that. Otherwise, you can just wait in line for that. And there's a lot to do in that space. Make sure that you don't discount things like the animal trails that you can do, because they really give you such a cool view and an up-close view of so many great animals. You have the Kilimanjaro, the trail there when you come off of Kilimanjaro Safaris, which is a great trail. And then in addition, you have one in Asia as well. And they both offer really unique views, completely different animals. So make sure you do that. You know, some kids really enjoy the Dino Land area. So that's another thing you'll want to consider. I think something else that is really fun about Animal Kingdom is the shows. You have the Lion King show and the Finding Nemo show. I think the Finding Nemo show is actually one of my favorite shows in Disney World. I just think it's such a unique offering. And it's not just, you know, a Broadway-esque style show. The puppetry and all that interaction makes it unique. Plus the music that was written specifically for that show. So that's another one you're going to not want to miss. So lots of great things to see in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I can't say enough about the two shows, Finding Nemo and the Festival of the Lion King, because your kids are in the perfect age, especially even, you know, I think that Finding Nemo, like you said, is the best show on Disney property. However, Festival of the Lion King is incredible. They have a new theater back in Africa. And for kids, they have, you know, 7, 5, and 3. They are just going to be blown away by the visuals. I mean, they have these tumble monkeys just jumping on these trampolines and, you know, grabbing, you know, like flipping each other and, you know, holding on to each other by the ankles and doing all these crazy acrobatic stuff. And people, you know, like this big bird person hanging from the ceiling, swooping around. I mean, it is so visual. And hopefully if they've seen Lion King, the music is familiar and the singing is incredible. There's audience participation. So don't discount those two shows, you know, definitely. And they just eat up people. So you don't necessarily have to have a fast pass. Try to get both of those in if you can. I think you'll be walking away saying, wow, I wasn't expecting that at the Animal Kingdom. So, Ricky, what do you think? They're looking for dinner somewhere in the park. So, Ricky, yeah, can you suggest dinner for this family?
Absolutely. So I'm going to give them two suggestions because I think that, you know, I don't know whether they're going to want to do a table service or whether they're going to want to do counter service. My table service suggestion is going to be Tusker House. I think that while they have some unique options, you know, it does take a little bit of that African flair. They do have some stuff that's safe for kids too. So if you're worried, oh, my kids won't like this, you know, they do have the traditional stuff like the, you know, corn dog nuggets and you know, macaroni and cheese and, you know, stuff like that. So they're going to have stuff that your kids are familiar with. If you, and plus it's a character meal as well. So, your kids will get to meet, you know, the characters dressed up in their safari gear, which is fun too. If you wanted to do kind of a table, a counter service route, I would suggest, probably Flame Tree Barbecue. I think you get, the most bang for your buck here in the sense that you can definitely split meals here. It's really expensive. It's like $19.99, but it's a trio where you get the ribs, the chicken, and the pulled pork in one platter. I mean, two people could split that easily and be good. So I would definitely suggest doing, you know, Flame Tree as your counter service option. I think that they have some great food there, and I don't think that you'd regret either one. So those are my two options for dining at for this family. Because, you know, while I love Tiffin's, I don't expect that the family is going to enjoy a signature meal at Disney's Animal Kingdom. So those are my two suggestions.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so day 8, they're just flying home. They said they're probably going to try to steal a couple of hours back at the Magic Kingdom for a little last-minute magic. And what I would do simply for that is kind of take an ongoing poll there, kind of a straw poll throughout the trip. We're going to try to squeeze in 3 hours, maybe five, our top five Magic Kingdom attractions on the last day, and have the family kind of vote and maybe let each kid pick one. You know what I'm saying? That'll make them special. Like, what's the one thing at the Magic Kingdom you want to do one more time before we head on that airplane? But that might be my last suggestion for day 8. So kind of in summary, Pam, what do you think of this itinerary? Sounds like they have heck of a plan for their trip, and, you know, lots of good meals. And, you know, not the one thing I like about this is they're not driving the family into the ground, which is a temptation on a Disney vacation.
I agree. I love to see a family enjoying things, taking, you know, them at their own pace. I think that that's a message that at the travel agency we try frequently to impart on people, and not many people heed our suggestions on that point, which I totally get, but it's something that anyways that we like to mention. The one thing I will say for me and my family, and this may be something that absolutely does not work for your family and you don't feel like you need it, but I always tell guests, for my family, the park hopper always wins. Always wins. When I don't have the park hopper, which has not happened for years, because the last time I had it, I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown. I just need that ability to be able to park hop whenever I want. And just knowing that I have it actually makes me feel better. We frequently do a different park in the morning and then, hop to a different park in the afternoon or the evening, either to catch the fireworks show or to enjoy extra magic hours or whatever. So for my family, it's a fantastic value because we get more time in the parks by utilizing the different parks, other than, you know, utilizing the extra magic hours perhaps in the morning and then hopping to another park that isn't quite as crowded in the afternoon. But again, this is a very, very personal choice. I can't say that it's something, a decision that I can make for anyone else. I can just share what my experiences are. And other than that, I think it looks like you have a great plan with some good meals and some downtime and lots of great activities.
That's it. When you're staying at a deluxe resort, you got to build in the time to be there. And you've done that already. So I like that. So Ricky, final thoughts on the trip, and we'll let everybody start the weekend.
Yeah. So in looking at kind of his follow-up email, there is one question that we did not answer. And that is that he's going to be in Walt Disney World for May the 4th, but he won't be at Hollywood Studios. Is that a miss? And I can tell you, as someone who has been to Walt Disney World and actually been to Disney's Hollywood Studios on May the 4th, they, as of right now, they really don't do a whole lot to commemorate the day. They at least last year, they didn't do a lot. The year before, I think that's the year that I was there, they had a special cupcake that they, you know, it was the Darth Vader cupcake. But now, of course, you can get the Darth Vader cupcake any time of the year, so that really doesn't matter. And the only thing that they had that's really kind of special, and I use that in quotes, is they had a special May the 4th t-shirt that you could purchase, and that was really it. So I had fun being there on May the 4th, and yeah, it was fun riding Star Tours on, you know, that day. And it was also fun because the next day is Cinco de Mayo, so it was also fun being at Epcot on Cinco de Mayo and being at the Mexico Pavilion. But it's also very busy at the Mexico Pavilion because it's Cinco de Mayo, so just keep that in mind as well. I don't think that you're missing anything by not going to Hollywood Studios on May the 4th. I think that your plan is just fine the way it is. Unless Disney decides to announce something major, and that we won't know that until knowing Disney, you know, a couple weeks before.
May the 3rd.
May the 3rd. I don't think you're going to be missing anything, at least as far as last year goes.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Artie. We appreciate that. Hope everybody enjoyed we're Monday morning quarterbacking, but before the fact here. And it was kind of fun because it gives you a chance to just consider things for your trip, possibly, because, you know, it made me think about things for my December trip. So I appreciate that, Artie. Thanks so much for sharing your planning, and hopefully you have an amazing trip, and we'll maybe do a follow-up when you get back to see how it actually turned out. So don't forget, today's show brought to you by our great sponsors, the folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when you're headed to a Disney destination, let the professional, passionate agents over at the Magic for Less help make that vacation the best it can be. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. And we're also brought to you by Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. So when you need somebody to give you a second set of eyes on your financial picture, give Drew Baker a call at 260-271-1050. Shoot him an email at drew.baker@ampf.com or check him out online at ameriprisedvisors.com/drew.baker. All right, last chance to get those dessert party tickets, guys. We're going down to Walt Disney World here very, very soon, less than a week. This is your very last chance to get those dessert party tickets. We're going to be at the Porte Cochere over at Disney's...
Porte Cochere!
I said it! And we're over at Disney's Contemporary Resort Friday, November 4th. Lots of, you know, mini cronuts, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of desserts, of course, the cupcakes and all that good stuff. But friends, and just great times. We'd love you to join us. So drop by the Facebook group. It's right there at the top. Last chance. Grab those tickets. We got a really nice group, but still a few more tickets remain. All right. Don't forget that you can always check us out on the social media, and it's going to get crazy here soon as we head down to Walt Disney World. Check it out at Be Our Guest Mike on both Instagram and Twitter. And again, the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Do check out Magical Mouse Radio over at magicalmouseradio.com when you need your Disney fix as well. And we are going to ask you this weekend, if you have a few minutes, give us an iTunes review and a rating over there. It helps more people discover the podcast, and we appreciate that so very much. All right, so for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in. Stay safe, whatever you do this weekend, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.